And it is a familiar passage of God's word here. We have the children of Israel. They've left Egypt. They've come to the edge of the Red Sea. And then they stop. And Pharaoh draws nigh. And we'll break into this passage at the verse 10. Exodus 14, verse 10. The word of God says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. Behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord said unto Moses, And wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen." Amen. And we'll end there at the verse number 18. And we could read all this passage from verse 1 to the end. But it is hopefully familiar to you. And for the sake of time, we'll just read those verses. But let us unite together in prayer and seek the Lord just for a moment as we come to consider his word. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight and we rejoice that we can be found again in thy house. We thank thee we can come as thy people to hear thy word and to pray, and we desire to hear that message from thee this night. And Father, we beseech thee that thou would speak to us. We realize that here in the verses that we've read and the situation that is unfolding before us from thy precious word, that thou didst speak to thy people. And Father, we pray that thou would in turn speak to us tonight. Encourage our hearts. Draw us nearer unto thee. Guide us, we pray. We thank thee. We can sing the words of that Welsh hymn, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." And Father, we as thy people rely upon thee day by day, hour by hour, to guide us. Guide us today. Guide us this evening. Guide us tomorrow. Guide us throughout our lives, we ask of thee. Guide this flock. Guide this church. Guide thy people, we ask of thee. And Father, may thy name be glorified in all these things. Speak to our hearts. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Each morning when we arise from our beds, we stand before the unknown. We stand before the unknown. And I don't mean standing beside your bed, wondering what your hair looks like before you go and view it in the mirror, how bad it is, and the little time you may have to fix yourself. I mean the unknown of that day. We do not know what lies ahead. Proverbs states it well. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We do not know what lies ahead for the church and for ourselves, as families and individually. The future path is unknown to all but God. And in the chapter before us, the children of Israel have heard and received the promises of God. They've left Egypt through his mighty power. But instead of enjoying sure and certain freedom at this point in time, they find themselves encamped by the Red Sea. The wilderness was around them. The army of Pharaoh drew nigh. We see that in verse 10. And all the might of God that was displayed in Egypt was forgotten as they began to think of the Egyptians coming upon them. They murmured. They complained. They were sore afraid. They thought the future was bright. But yet it was unknown as the Egyptians bore down upon them. And again, the future was unknown in the sense that they were sore afraid and began to take their eyes off the fact that God had already delivered them once. He had took them out of Egypt. He had took them out of the land of bondage. He had took them out of slavery. But they were sore afraid. And the servant of God cried unto his God. And we have an answer to that prayer. In verse number 15, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." The people had a problem. They did not look in the right direction. They did not look to God. They complained. They said it was better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. But Moses, the man of God, knew where he should look. And he lifted up his eyes to God and he prayed to God and he took the problem to God. And God came and gave him an answer. "Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." They were to stand still. Moses said that in verse 13, "Fear ye not. There's no reason to fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace." And then God told them to go forward. And whatever is on the morrow for us, it may be unknown. We may not know what lies ahead. The message that God gave to the children of Israel here is a message for us. We are to go forward in the will of God. We're to go forward in the plan of God. We're to go forward in the path that God has for us. We're to go forward in the duties and the responsibilities that God has for us. Israel was to go forward. I want us to consider briefly this evening, going forward for God. Going forward for God. There are three points that come out of this thought, going forward for God. And we see these in light of the children of Israel. Firstly, we should go forward, and we've touched on it briefly. We should go forward as it is God's purpose for his people. It's God's will, it's God's plan. We should go forward as it is God's purpose for his people. I'm looking at what we have in this passage. The children of Israel were brought to the sea, and God himself tells them to go forward. God had a plan. God had a purpose for his people, and it was not to die in the wilderness. It was not to be enslaved again by the Egyptians. They were to go forward. And God has directed us as his people and as his church to go forward. Very simply, we could say, in the Great Commission, God has given us the directive as his people to go forward with the gospel. Mark 16, verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." A commission that is fresh. A commission that has not been fully accomplished. A commission that cannot be laid to rest until the end of this world. Commission that has not been accomplished and cannot be laid to rest. And the expectation is that the church goes forward. When we think of the Apostle Paul and the book of Acts, the whole theme behind the book of Acts could be summarized in these words. There are many themes, but it could be summarized in these words, going forward for God. Because we find the apostles, we find the New Testament church, the believers there. Some of those characters we only come across in the book of Acts for the first time. And they're all working together as God's people, united together under a common cause, under a common banner, to go forward for God with the gospel in this world. Paul himself strove to fight the good fight and to finish his course. He ran the race. He kept his eyes upon the Saviour. And so, as believers, we are, as the church, to go forward. Never in Scripture does that concept change. Never in Scripture do we find justification for taking steps back. Yes, we may struggle. Times may be hard. But we're not instructed to sit back. We're told to come apart and rest a while. That's not going back. That's merely resting and taking a break. But as believers in our own walk with God, and as the Church of Christ, we are to march forward in the will of God. And when we come back to Exodus chapter 14, we see that the children of Israel here were going forward as it is God's purpose for His people. In Genesis chapter 15, the Lord said to Abraham, "Know for surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, speaking of the Egyptians. And then the Lord says, "And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age." As the Lord continues there. Now, that time had come to pass. That promise had come to its fruition. God was fulfilling the promises that He had made those many, many years ago. He called Moses to serve Him, to lead Israel forward. He sent the plagues upon the Egyptians, showing forth His mighty power. He guided His people to the edge of the sea, and in doing so, He took them out of Egypt and out of slavery. And redemption is a major theme regarding the Egyptian slavery. The Egyptians being in slavery, being in sin, that's what the reminder is here. They were enslaved in that place that is a picture in Scripture of this world. Exodus 15 verse 13 says of the Lord, "Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed." And these people standing at the midst of the Red Sea, they'd come out of Egypt. The Lord was still working and would take them completely away from the Egyptians. They'd come out of slavery, a picture of our redemption from sin. And as a redeemed people, their God was commanding them to go forward, for He had a great purpose for them, fulfilling His promises, bringing them out of the land, bringing them out of slavery, bringing them into that land that was promised for them. And there's this great parallel with us as the Lord's people. The Lord has brought us out of a land of sin. The Lord has brought us out of slavery. The Lord is leading us to the glorious promised land. The Lord has that will, that purpose for us. And it is going forward as His people. And as individuals, we're to go forward for the Lord. What does that mean for us? God guided them to this place. They were in the place that God wanted them to be. And they were to go forward. They were to go forward. And as the Lord's people, we are to go forward in our spiritual lives. We're to go forward in prayer. We're to go forward in witnessing. We are to go forward in reading the Word of God, in our knowledge of Scripture. The phrase "go forward" here in the original Hebrew can refer to a pulling up. Specifically in this context, perhaps a pulling up of the tent pins. If you were part of the children of Israel who lived in a tent, going forward would refer to moving. You wouldn't bring a big delivery truck round to your house and put all your furniture in. You pulled up the tent pins. The tent is something that, while it can be fixed in a particular place, it's only temporary. It's only temporary. That reminds us of our lives being only temporary on this earth. But also the fact that we are to be constantly moving, as it were. We're not to put our roots out. We're not to put our roots out in the sense of sitting back, of being happy where we are when God is commanding us to go forward. They were not to stand still. And believer, we're not to stand still spiritually. We're not to stand still when we think of those outside of Christ who need to hear the message of the gospel. We need to desire to go forward with God. To go forward with God. When we feel to go forward, we stop living in faith and we walk in fear. Verse 10 reminds us of this. Behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid. They were going forward toward the Red Sea. They were going forward in God's will. But then they look at what was coming. Their faith disappeared. They had witnessed God doing great and mighty things, mighty miracles in the land of Egypt. And then all that is forgotten. And they were sore afraid. Sore afraid. When we fail to go forward, we stop living in faith and we walk in fear. We start murmuring and complaining. Verse 11 and 12 reminds us of this. They said, wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? They said, verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? They complained and they looked back and they realized they preferred to be in slavery than to be following the purpose and the plan of God. When we fail to go forward, we can move backwards. Backslide. This is what they were doing here. They desired to be again in Egypt. And child of God, if you're not fixed on the Lord, the author and finisher of your faith, running that street race, looking to Christ. If you're not going forward, then something has changed. You've come to a standstill. You're not going forward. You're perhaps even going back, desiring those sins, desiring those things of long ago that once you left behind. There's a backsliding here. There's a hindering of others. When we fail to go forward, we can hinder others. When we fail to go forward, we prevent ourselves from seeing the power of God. Here they decided to go back to Egypt, but yet God was going to perform a great miracle. And God had the power to perform that miracle. Instead of looking to God who brought them to this point for a purpose and for a reason, their minds went back to Egypt. Child of God, we ought not to fail to go forward. Things may seem impossible. Things may seem difficult. But may we walk in faith, looking to the author and finisher of our faith. And then secondly, we see here as well that we should go forward regardless of our situation. We should go forward regardless of our situation. Whatever our circumstances are, those circumstances should not prevent us from going forward for God. And here we see we're to go forward despite circumstances. Here there was no way forward. There was murmuring. There was complaining. They were not to go back to Egypt because of the circumstances. They were to go forward. And sometimes in life we wonder, what is the way forward? What path are we to take? What path does God want us to take? But everything seems impossible. Everything seems difficult. Everything seems cloudy, as it were, and hard to see. But as God's people, we're to seek Him, we're to look to Him, and we are to go forward. These circumstances did not and would not prevent the children of Israel from following God's plan and purpose. They arrived in the land of Canaan in God's time. They conquered the land of Canaan in God's time. They received those great blessings that that land had to give, that God had given to them in God's time. God had a plan and a purpose. But at this point, they wanted to go back to slavery. Their eyes were on the circumstances, like Peter in the New Testament, who looked at the waves and who looked at the discouraging things that were around him. He took his eyes off the Savior and he began to sink. Child of God, Whatever circumstances are around us, those circumstances should not make us question or doubt the God of heaven or desire to be back amongst the people and the things of this world. The Christian life is always one of progression. Justification is a one-time act, but sanctification is an ongoing work. It's an ongoing work. I've met many individuals, and some who've been saved a very short time appear very close with God. The work of sanctification is very strong in their life. Then you find those who've been saved 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. They have a strong faith as well. The work of sanctification is strong in their life. But then there's others, saved for long periods of time. And you even wonder whether they're saved at all, because they don't have that joy. They don't have that desire. They don't have that longing to go forward for God the way that many others do. They maybe don't have that knowledge for God. 50, 60 years redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But yet their walk for God is almost like a new babe in Christ. And that's sad, because we're to grow. We're to progress. We're to move forward as the people of God. Sanctification is that ongoing work, and by its very definition and application, it must be ongoing. As we go forward, we learn more and more of God. We grow in His grace. Our lives are changed. And then there's a going forward despite the enemy. The enemy was coming upon them. Maybe they feared for their life. They realized they could not fight. Moses says in verse 14, "The Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace." And part of that reasoning is because they could not do that themselves. That was obvious. Not at this point in time, certainly. But Moses had this great faith in God. The Egyptians coming upon them, that was no hurdle. That was no difficulty. That was no problem. Because God was in control. Child of God, in our own life, our personal lives, the devil will seek to attack. The enemy will seek to come in and to distract us and cause problems and destroy. It's not to hold us back. We are still to go forward. We're still to go forward. In the book of Haggai, the chapter 1, we see the enemy had moved forward, as it were. The work of God in that chapter had ceased. The people hearkened to the threats of the enemy. But the Lord told them to consider their ways. Consider their ways. The attacks of the enemy, the words of the enemy, were not to distract them from going forward in the work of God. The enemy is not to distract us in our walk with God, in our fellowship with God, in our service for God. Now, we know the Lord's grace, that whatever situation we find ourselves in, it brings us closer to God. We see His power. We see His grace. We see more and more of Him. We love Him more day by day as we see His power unfold. And then thirdly, I want you to see we should go forward with no fear. We should go forward with no fear. Moses spoke with calmness and surety. He was a true leader of God's people. There are many leaders today, and they're confused. They've no idea what to say. They change their minds all the time. Moses is a man here whose leadership is clear. It is calm. It is sure, because it is focused upon the Lord. He looked back to Egypt, and he saw the power of God. He looked beyond the plagues, right back to the burning bush. And what did Moses see? The power and the presence of God. He had no doubt that God was with him. And therefore, Moses himself had no fear. He says to the people, verse 13, "Fear ye not. Fear ye not." Fear is a great enemy. Fear is a great enemy. I remember standing on the side of a yacht in the Canary Islands off the west coast of Africa many years ago. I was 17, and I was standing there, everyone was running and jumping into the water from quite a height up. I'm not a strong swimmer, and so I stood and watched, and my father has it, had it on video camera. I hope he's lost it, but he had it on video camera. I ran to the very edge of the deck to jump, and I stopped and grabbed the side. I must have done that about 3 or 4 times, 5 times before I eventually got the courage to jump in. And the current was very strong. I almost thought I should have stayed on the boat. But it was a good experience. But fear almost stopped it. It's a trivial thing. But it shows that fear can stop us. Fear can make a mockery of us. When I got back home, my friends heard the story from my parents and they laughed at me. They laughed a lot at me. And fear can often mock us. We're supposed to be Christian, strong, with a faith in God, but yet when we fear, there can be mockery. There can be mockery. Child of God, this is a man who had no fear. His trust was fully in God. He was resting upon God. Moses was a meek man. Moses felt he could not stand before Pharaoh. And he rested strongly in the God of heaven. He could look up and see the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that reminded him of God's presence. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord hadn't brought these people out to die. Moses knew that. Moses believed in God's plan. He believed in God's word. He looked to the Lord. He had that strong, steadfast trust in Him. He was one-minded, not double-minded. And if we desire to go forward for God, that must be the case. Moses knew they could not march through the wilderness themselves in their own strength. They needed provisions. He knew they could not part the waters themselves. He knew they could not defeat the enemy themselves. But he knew that God had brought them there for a reason. He believed the word of God. He trusted the word of God. And God, through His grace, dealt with Moses' fear. It was gone. Fear ye not, Moses says. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Yes, they were to stand still and see God work, and then they were to go forward. And often that is the case with us. We see circumstances coming upon us. It may be sickness, it may be other issues, financial issues. It may be problems in the family, problems in the workplace, problems in this world that have got on top of us. We may see no way out. We may fear all these things. But we trust in God. We trust in God. We see here that God prepared the path. Verse 16, but lift thou up thy rod, the rod of Aaron that was used in front of Pharaoh in Exodus 7. The rod that turned into the serpent. The serpent that reminds us of the curse of sin. We have this rod that swallowed the rods of the magicians. In Exodus 7. This rod reminded Moses and perhaps reminded the people as well of what God had already done. And Moses lifts up that rod. He stretches it out. And he uses it to bring about the division of the Red Sea through the power of God. Through the power of God. That path is made. A path is made. There's a path that went through the midst of the sea. The sea was made, as it were, dry land, and the waters were divided. Our God is a God of miracles. God prepared the path. God has prepared the path for us in salvation. God has redeemed us. We walk through, as it were, on dry land because Christ has died for us and took our place. And when we think of going forward with no fear, God has prepared the path. When we think of death, we can have no fear because God has already prepared the path through Christ. God has that path for us to walk as his people. And this path was a distinct path. It didn't branch out into different paths through the sea. I remember driving across Australia. There was one road for several hundred kilometres. If you drove off it, you were just driving in the bush. There was nowhere to go. One road. One distinct road. You had no need of a map or a GPS because there was one road. One road. And God has a path for us as his people. Generally speaking, we have it in his word. It's a path of righteousness. It's a path of godliness. It's a path that is separate from this world. And as God's people, we walk a distinct path. We see as well that God defeated the enemy. We're to have no fear because God defeated the enemy. The enemies of God have attacked for centuries, yet history is littered with their destruction. And the church marches on. And God had given a great assurance in this passage. And great assurance to the plagues of Egypt. And great assurance to Moses that his people would enter into the promised land. And God moved in great power and defeated the enemy. Isaiah 51 and the verse 15 reminds us, "But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name." The Lord of hosts is his name. And scripture there reminds us of what took place here in Exodus 14. The power of God. The power of God. Whatever enemy we face, God is in control. Whatever trial we come across, God is in control. And this entire situation, the event we have here in this passage, it reminds us that God is one who gets the glory. The glory is his. Verse 18, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, whom, or when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." When we live for the Lord, when we desire to go forward for God, is that our aim? That others will know. They'll see the glory of God in our lives. They'll see the glory of God through all that we do for our Master. This was an appropriate command. They went forward in God's will. He gave them victory. It was not their plan. It was not their intent. It was God's purpose. And he guided. And often we can have uncertain times. Let us look back at this event in the history of Israel. Significant event in Scripture. Let us remind ourselves that God is in control. Let us remind ourselves that the God who displayed great power here is our God. He is omnipotent. His power is infinite. It never changes. And let us desire to go forward in his ways, in his commandments, and to go forward in the path that he has for us, fearing no man. Fearing no man. For we know the presence of God with us. May the Lord bless his word this evening for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. We'll hand back to our brother, please.
Thank our brother for bringing that word of God. A good, encouraging word spoke to me. Most certainly encouraged me to go on with the Lord on our pilgrim way with him. Him having prepared it all for us. Gone before ahead of us and prepared everything for his glory and for our good. We'll just close this part of the service in the meeting in a word of prayer, and we'll go offline, and so, and then we'll commence our time of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank Thee for speaking to us through Thy precious word. We thank Thee for the word of God. We thank Thee, Lord, for truth in black and white. Lord, that we're left at the mercy of our memories, left at the mercy of con men, left at the mercy of passing fads and fictions, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. Oh, we thank Thee for Thy word, and that Thy word enters in, that Thy word feeds and it changes. Lord, it does that sanctifying work. Lord, it has worked that first change in our lives and brought us to our knees. Lord, has brought us to repent and believe, has brought us to new life. We thank Thee. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy word brought this evening. Lord, bless it to us. Yes, that we will go forward, Lord, in these various ways mentioned and applied. Lord, bless Thy servant. Lord, we thank Thee for the help given to him in the preparation of Thy word. Lord, bless us, we pray, and help us as we approach this time of peace, this time of prayer, in Jesus' name.